We're on Mem Dalet Amud Aleph 44a, the second, first wide line. The wide lines. Umi Motzi Smuk Mesloka Rav Yehuda. All right, let's just backtrack a little bit to get ourselves in the ball game again. So, Sam, this is the famous chart.
Yeah, I got it.
In color. Okay, now let's keep the focus here. Let's keep the focus here on the top chart. Again, we're still in the midst of the machlokes, Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. Their machlokes is regarding the machlokes of the rabbis and Rav Yehuda. Again, we have an explicit Mishnah that talks about divorce. The divorce of a Nara Hamurasa, where the rabbis told us that both the father and the daughter are able to accept the divorce, while Rabbi Yehuda says only the father. The machloka seems to be predicated on, is there only one yad involved in the transaction, or can there be two yads involved in this? That is the machloka that's explicitly stated in a Mishnah. The debate that is between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan is, will that same machlokas apply by marriage of a Nara? That's the same, that's the machlokas. Reish Lakish maintains, same machlokas. The rabbis will say she's got a yad by marriage as well, regular marriage, or Yehuda says no, only one yad. While Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the rabbis would admit in the case of marriage that only the father gets the yad, and he would agree to Rabbi Yehuda. And the logic for that is what? The difference between marriage and divorce is marriage, it's a consent that's required to transact the marriage. Well, divorce does not need consent, and since there's no consent is necessary, then the rabbis would say either one has a yad. Well, Rabbi Yehuda goes straight through and says only the yad goes to the father. So we had questions back and forth, still have not resolved the machlokes. Everyone has ways to learn other mishnayos, as we discussed last week. So we ended off yesterday with a kasha from our mishnah. Our mishnah says that a man can accept the kiddushin for his daughter, and he can send a shliach to accept the kiddushin for his daughter. Oop, didn't want to do that. And that's where we're at. There it is, line 23. A father can be mekadesh his nara to a man, or he can do so through a shliach. The implication was, the father can do this, implying, but she or her shliach cannot. Okay, now this is kiddushin of a nara. And the Mishnah says the father can and the daughter not. So now, this is a question on, This is a question on who? Let's take a look now. It's going to be a question on Reish Lakish. Why is this a question of Reish Lakish? Because now we have an explicit Mishnah that says only the father takes the kiddushin for the Nara. Now that makes really good sense according to Rabbi Yochanan, because he says there's no machlokes. Even the rabbis agree only the father can take the kiddushin for the daughter. So it's a problem on Reish Lakish. So how did we answer the question yesterday? What's Reish Lakish going to have to say? That this Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda, who says only the father can take it, and would come out that the Mishnah is not going according to the halacha, because we're usually going to paskin like the rabbis. Alright, that was the answer. The Mishnah, our Mishnah that says only a father can accept the kiddushin for his Nara daughter, if according to Rabbi Yochanan, that fits beautifully, everybody says that. Reish Lakish, the problem is the rabbis don't say it, so Reish Lakish would be forced to say that our Mishnah would be only going according to Rabbi Yehuda. That's where we ended off yesterday. The flow of the Gemara is going to be as follows. The Gemara is going to say there's a problem to say that the Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, because this Mishnah has a continuation. The next Mishnah we'll learn a few pages on is called the Seifa of this Mishnah. And whoever the author is in the Reisha should be the same author in the Seifa. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, that the Mishnah went according to everybody, well then whoever is the author of the Seifa is going to be included in everybody. But according to Reish Lakish, that the author of our Mishnah is only Rabbi Yehuda, well let's take a look at the Seifa. Will the Seifa be like Rabbi Yehuda or not? That's going to be the question. The Gemara is going to assume it's not like Rabbi Yehuda, and they're going to go back and forth, and if it's not going to be like Rabbi Yehuda, then you can't say that the Reish is like Rabbi Yehuda. Right? Your answer, Reish Lakish's answer, that the Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda exclusively, well then what if the Seifa is going to be like another rabbi? Then that's a problem. And that would knock off Reish Lakish. So now we have to learn the next Mishnah, which is considered the Seifa of this Mishnah, try to understand whose opinion it goes like, and to see what the Gemara's question is, that it appears not to be like Rabbi Yehuda. All right, here comes the question. Umi matzis mukmas la ka Rabbi Yehuda. And since when can you establish our Mishnah going like Rabbi Yehuda? The Ketani Seifa, let's take a look in the Seifa. The Seifa means the second clause of the Mishnah, which will have a memvav amid aleph. Now, this is the notes point out, even though it's printed as a separate Mishnah, if you look in your Mishnais, it's considered a separate Mishnah, but the truth of the matter is, the Gemara treats this as a continuation of the first one. So it's like one big Mishnah. So what does it say? Okay, we've got to read this carefully. Ha'omer le'isha, a man says to a woman, he wants to be Makadisher, he says, Hiskachi li bitmorazu, be Makadish to me with this date. A date that you eat. Okay, not that we're going out on a date, but the fruit called a date. Now, the only issue is, it will be a good marriage if the date is worth a shava pruta. It has to be worth a minimum amount of a shava pruta. So he says like this, he says, be married to me, he's got a few dates on the table here. The woman's over here, says, he takes the date and says, here, you be married to me with this date. But he's not done yet. Then he says, he repeats it, Hiskachali bizu. Then he takes another date, and he says, be makadish me with this. So he made two statements. He said, be married to me with this date. Then he says, be married to me with this. Okay? Now, the Mishnah goes on. The Gemara doesn't give the entire end. So it says like this. The Mishnah says, if one of the two dates is worth a pruta, then she's married. If each one by itself is not, even though combined they are, it's not a good marriage. Why? Because since he said two separate sayings, he said, marry me with this date. Sorry, well, it wasn't a shavar pruta. That was, like you said, nothing. Okay, marry me with this one.
Also,
so it's nothing. His opinion, we'll see, says we don't combine these two statements. We look at them as separate statements.
He didn't.
Okay, let's take a look at the notes. In the Mishnah's case, a man gives a date to a woman and says, become betrothed to me with this date, and then he answers another date saying, become betrothed to me with this one. The Mishnah rules that since the man applied the term become betrothed for each piece of fruit separately, each one he said a separate statement, he indicated that he gave each independently to affect Kiddush and that's all. Why he would do this, I have no idea. Maybe after he gave the first one, he thought maybe the first one wasn't worth the shava pruta. And the second one he thought would be better, but it turns out that's not either. As such, their value cannot be combined to total a pruta. The Kedushin will be valid only if one of the dates is worth the pruta by itself. That's what the Mishnah says. Now there's a whole discussion here, because what is this predicated on? Now the Gemara analyzes the statement of that Mishnah, which is the Seifa of our Mishnah. Va'amrinan, and the Gemara tries to identify who is the Tana that made that interesting statement that we do not combine these two statements. The Gemara asks, Man Tana, who's the Tana holds that when you use this expression of Hiskachi, the Hiskachi, when you use two separate expressions of become betrothed to me with this and become betrothed to me, that we split and don't consider it one activity, but we consider it two activities. Who is the Tana holds this? Because we'll see there's going to be some debate on this issue in a global sense. On the other, you could say, listen, he said, get married to me this, get married to me this. Some could say he's combining the two to be one big marriage. Right? That's the way you could look at it, either as one big marriage or two separate marriage acts. So who holds these are two separate marriage acts? Gemara discusses it. The Omar and the Gemara, and Omar Rabba, and Rabba says, you know who is the person who says this? Reb Shimon. It's Reb Shimon. Now we're already not saying who it is. Reb Yehuda. Remember, what did Reish Lakish have to say to answer the question from the Mishnah on the Reisha, where the father only can marry the daughter? He said, well, that's going to be Reb Yehuda.
Yeah.
Now, according to Reb Yochanan, it was no problem. It was according to everybody. So everybody, Reb Shimon would be part of everybody. If the second half is Reb Shimon, that's okay, because the first half is everybody, the second half is Reb Shimon. He's part of everybody. But according to Reish Lakish, that he's learning that it's only Reb Yehuda. If the first part's Reb Yehuda, then the second part also has to be Reb Yehuda. But while we're saying now, it's Reb Shimon. Now, how do we know it's Reb Shimon? Now we have to go to another Mishnah somewhere else where you see Reb Shimon makes this statement where you make separate statements, you don't combine it, and it has nothing to do with Kiddushin. It has to do with a shomer, with a guardian, if, in terms of an oath that he made. What does Reb Shimon say? We're talking about a guy who five different people gave him something to guard. And he goes back, they all come back to him, and he lies about what, like, he said, well, I gave it back to you. Which wasn't really true. And there's a whole issue, if you swear falsely, what the punishment is. There were five people doing it, and guess what? He made five expressions. Question is going to be, if he's chayv for five korbanos or one korban, that's going to be the discussion that we're talking about over there. And we're going to see this, the Reb Shimon is of the opinion that every time you make a separate statement, it's a separate thing. And if it's one big statement, it's not a separate thing. So now we have to look at that mission to prove that Reb Shimon is the author of our second half of the Mishnah. The Amar Reb Shimon says, the only time he has to bring five korbanos, at sheyomer shvua lechol echad ve'echad. If he makes an oath to each and every one of them. Okay? If he says to each one, I swear. Now, let's take a look. 27. Here we go. Reb Shimon's ruling concerns a case in which five people press claims against a defendant, each demanding return of deposits they allegedly entrusted to him. Five guys say, I gave you something to watch. Give it back to me. Now he, okay. In reply, the defendant swears that he has none of the five deposits. I don't have anything. But later admits that he lied in making this denial and confirms all five claims made against him. Okay, five claims were made. Five claims were denied under oath. Then afterwards, he does tshuva and says, I was a liar. Now, what normally happens, I pick with one guy. If one guy says, you have my thing, he says, I didn't. He swore. Then we find he's a liar. He gives it back. What's the atonement? Generally, when one lies in taking such an oath, he must bring an asham, a guilt offering. It's a korban, in addition to paying the money, plus a fine. Normally, if I say, listen, I told you to watch my watch, where is it? You never gave it to me. Okay, you have to swear. He swears. Then we find out he's lying or he tells the truth, whatever. So now he has to do three things. Pay back the watch, plus a percentage fine, plus he has to bring a korban asham. So here, the guy, five people came to him, and now he denied it, all five. The question is, how did he deny it? Did he make one oath to all five guys? Say, I make an oath that I didn't get anything from any one of you five? Or what if he makes five times he says, I swear I did not take from you. I swear I did not take from you. I swear I did not take from you. If he does that five times. So now, how many guilt offerings must the defendant bring? Five or only one? Reb Shimon rules that he's obliged to bring only one such offering unless he said the words, I swear to each of the plaintiffs. I swear that you have nothing in my possession, and I swear that you have nothing, and I swear that you have nothing, etc., etc. If he did say, I swear to each, then the defendant is considered to have pronounced five separate oaths and is therefore liable for five offerings. So again, if you say, even though really he's saying one statement, isn't he? That's the same thing. Is he really saying, well, he's saying one statement that he's denying he borrowed from five guys, or he's saying five separate statements? So it depends how you say it. If you say, I swear that I didn't have any of you five, since it's one oath, it's one denial, one korban chatas. If he says, I swear I didn't take yours, I swear I didn't think that he says five separate ones. Right? And that's similar to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, if he says, be married to me with this date, That splits up the statements. In our Gemara, Rabbah observes that the Mishnah in Kiddushin parallels Rav Shimon's ruling in Shavuos. Here, only the brothers' reiteration of the phrase become betrothers, not brothers, betrothers' reiteration of the phrase become betrothed to me is deemed to break his words into two separate pronouncements of Kiddushin. Just as only the defendant's repetition of I swear is deemed to break this pronouncement into five different oaths. Rabbah thus concludes that Rabbi Shimon is the author of the Mishnah in Tractate Kiddushin as well as the Mishnah in Tractate Shavuos. So now, we see that Reb Shimon is the author of the second half. So if he's the author of the second half, what do we assume? He's also the author of the first half, and not Rabbi Yehuda. Because remember, when he says the machlokas, the rabbis in Rabbi Yehuda, the assumption is all the other rabbis, including Reb Shimon, versus Rabbi Yehuda. If we're saying the Reish is like Rabbi Yehuda, it's not going to make sense to say the same as Reb Shimon. Doesn't make sense.
Oh, wait, because Rabbi says something over there in Shavuos, and it matches, and it aligns with this in Kiddushin, we say, because he said it there, he must have been the one who said it here, somebody else could have said it here.
Well, we're going to soon see, it's a machlokas. He's the only one we know that said this. We don't have anybody else attributed to saying this.
Over there.
Yes.
Yeah,
we don't
but
know.
Over here.
So good, so Gemara's going to answer similar to what you're saying. So let's see the Gemara's answer. And if you're going to want to say like Shelley, Vechitev, and if you want to say Kula Rabbi Yehuda, the whole Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, who says Rabbi Yehuda argues with Rabbi Shimon regarding the separating the statements? So you know Rabbi Shimon says it. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda also agrees to it. Why? Ubeprati, and when we have to make distinct statements, when you detail and say, I give a kedushin to you, suffer like Rav Shimon, you want to say, well, maybe he was like Rav Shimon, well, maybe he agrees to Rav Shimon. Who says Rav Shimon is the only person who are like that? Let's look at the notes. Buda agrees to Rav Shimon that a pronouncement is not considered separate from the pronouncement that precedes unless it begins with a repetition of an opening expression. I swear. We can thus attribute the authorship of our entire Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda. In the second clause, Rabbi Yehuda rules in accordance with Rabbi Shimon. Okay, and in the first clause, Rabbi Yehuda rules that the father can accept the Naira's Kedushin while the girl herself may not. Reish Lakish is then asserted that the Mishnah reflects only Rabbi Yehuda's view, while the sages maintain the Naira could indeed accept her own Kedushin. So Reish Lakish could say, the first half is only Rabbi Yehuda. Second half, who says we divide up when it's considered two separate comments when you divide it up, it's Rabbi Yehuda agrees to Rabbi Shimon, and therefore you have Rabbi Yehuda straight through. That would be a nice answer, eh, Shelley? Yeah. Problem's going to be, Gemara's going to knock it off. Yeah. Why? Gemara's going to now bring you a detailed list of names on this position of splitting it up, and we're going to see clearly Rabbi Yehuda argues on Rabbi Shimon. Oh, now we're finished. He's going to argue on Rav Shimon. Now you can't say he was like Rav Shimon. So the Gemara, you know, said what you thought. And then Gemara says, well, sorry, Shelley, we can't say this, though. Umi Savra, does Rav Yehuda really agree with Rav Shimon? We're going to bring a Brisa that shows you no, he disagrees. Now, Brisa is going to give you about four rabbis over here, a lot of discussion, but within the discussion, you'll see clearly Rav Yehuda does not hold of this point that Rav Shimon holds of. That's the basic upshot of the next part, which will bring us back to our question. The first part's going to be Rav Yehuda, the second part's going to be Rav Shimon, that's no good. But now we're proving that Rav Yehuda does not agree with Rav Shimon on this point. From the following Braisa, the Hatanya. The Braisa is, Zeh HaKlal, this is the general rules concerning the halacha of a guy refutes five claims with one oath. What if he makes one oath? One oath. So he said like this, Klal, if you include it, in other words, if you include all the five in one pronouncement, if he said to all five in one shot, I swear I didn't have anything from you five guys. So how many korbanos would he have to bring then?
One.
So, Ein Achayev Ella Achas. He only gives one korban because he included everybody in one. But what if Parat, what if he detailed it. He made, I swear to you I didn't, I swear to you I didn't, I swear to you I did it. Chayev akol achas vachas. You chayev at each and every one of them. This is a braisa. And who is this? Divrei Rav Meir. These are the words of Rav Meir. That's the ones we're quoting. That's Rav Meir. That's the Rav Meir we said before, that our mission will be like him. So look at notes. The Gemara in Shavuos clarifies Rameir's position further by defining the terms he uses. Explains what Rameir means by a single pronouncement that includes many denials as opposed to separate pronouncements which each denial is individually specified. So this Rameir, now you're going to see the next line, Rabbi Yehuda is going to argue on it. So that clearly is going to say that our Mishnah can't be Rabbi Yehuda. There'll be a few more rabbis that's going to, he brings the full price, but here's the next line, that's the important line. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, if he says, it's a little bit tricky here, Shvua lo lecha, lo lecha, lo lecha. What if he swears, but he says only one time the expression, I swear not to you, not to you, not to you. Now what would Rabbi Meir say on that?
Is one.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
But look what he says. Chayev al kol achas va'achas. You have to pay on each one. He didn't say, now there's three type, really there's three possibilities a person could have said. He said, I don't owe any of you five. That's one possibility. And he says, I swear I don't owe any of you five. He could swear I don't owe you. I swear I don't owe you. I swear I don't owe you. That's the extreme other. And then you got one in the middle. I swear I don't owe you, and I don't owe you, and I don't owe you, and that's kind of in the middle.
No.
That's an in the middle one, right? So the question is so Reb Meir said the only way you're going to be chayv, you have to use a full expression of I swear, I swear, I swear. While Reb Yehuda says no, he says, if you say I swear, but you detail within the I swear, then you already be chayiv on all five.
Yeah.
Right? You'll be chayiv on each and every one. Okay? What's good to know? Each refutation is considered a separate denial since they are not connected by the word and. Look, careful. Let's look again. Lo lecha, he says, I swear I did not owe money to you.
Nor you.
Without adding a vav.
Yeah.
Didn't say and. It says, and not to you, not to you. Without the word and in between. Okay, again, each refutation is considered a separate denial since they are not connected by the word and. If the defendant had instead said, I swear I do not owe money to you, and not to you, and not to you, his words would be considered one extended pronouncement and he would be obligated to bring only one guilt offering. So, but still, according to Rabbi Meir, you wouldn't be chayev at all, even the way Rabbi Yehuda expresses it. You don't be chayev one. Even he says, not you, not you, not you. Okay, so already see Rabbi Yehuda argues in Rabbi Meir. Already see it. And now I got another opinion anyway, for good measure. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Rabbi Lezer says, lo lecha, lo lecha, lo lecha, vit lo lecha, not you, nor you, nor you, and nor you, he added that and, chayev al kol achas va'achas, you're chayev on each and every one of them. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, the defendant's denials are considered separate pronouncements when he mentions the word, I swear, at the end of his declaration. Okay, see, look what he, let's go back. What it said, he starts over, it doesn't say, I swear. He says, not you, not you, not you, not you, I swear.
He doesn't add the end into the last one.
Yeah, but I swear, then you're chayv in each and every one of them because you put I swear at the end. Okay? I don't want to get too bogged down in all the details. It's machlok. It's already proven that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rabbi Shimon. Okay? Now, we come to Rabbi Shimon, Omer, and Rabbi Shimon says, One second. Let me just go back 1 second. Now we have to have Reb Shimon.
Yeah.
Now we're coming to Reb Shimon. This is the Reb Shimon we're looking for now. This is the one we said our Mishnah like Reb Shimon.
Yeah.
Shimon Omerli, Oilam Eina Chayav, At Shiomer Shvul Chalecha Vechad. You're not Chayav until you say the word Shvuah to each and every one of them. Finished. Unless you say Shvua to each and every one of them, that's what separates them. But the others disagreed with that. Okay? The Machlokes, how he disagreed with the first opinion, I don't want to get into that. But clearly this Reb Shimon is not Reb Yehuda. Right? He says like this. He is never obligated to bring a separate guilt offering for each denial unless he says, I swear to each one of the persons lodging a claim against him. You got to say, I swear. The Braisa thus indicates Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon disagree over what constitutes a single or separate pronouncement. And since the second clause of our Mishnah clearly reflects Rabbi Shimon's view, we cannot contend that the Mishnah was actually authored by Rabbi Yehuda. Look at the notes. According to Rabbi Shimon, the denials are considered separate only if the defendant actually enunciated the word Shvua. The Mishnah thus poses a difficulty for Reish Lakish, for its first clause implies that only the Nara's father may accept her Kiddushin. According to Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yehuda is the only Tana holds this to be true. Yet it is impossible to attribute our Mishnah to Rabbi Yehuda, for the second clause, because Yehuda disagrees, he says, they can be combined even without saying separate Shvuas. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the second half of the Mishnah is not true. He doesn't agree with that. Okay, so we're stuck.
I get this straight. Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Shimon when they're separate. I swear.
But he says you can combine it even if they're not separate. And our Mishnah says if they're not separate, you
can combine them if he doesn't specifically say, I swear to each one. Right? If he says, I swear to each one, they both agree. Right?
Should have said a bigger chiddush. He could have said he's scotchy with this and with this, and then you could combine it. The Mishnah is being very selective. You consider it a separate. It's considered separate if you say he's scotchy twice. Otherwise, they are considered one. While Rabbi Yehuda said they'd be considered separate even without having to go that far. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be a separate even with less of an expression. According to Rabbi Meir, only if you say hiskachi and hiskachi is it two separate expressions. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't have to go that far. It could be considered a separate expression if you say hiskachi with this and with this. And our Mishnah doesn't say that. Our Mishnah would assume anything better than two separate expressions would be combined.
Right.
Correct?
Yeah.
Our Mishnah says they're two separate expressions only if you started off and say, be married to me, be married. Anything less than they mean would be combined. That's Reb Meir's opinion. That's what the Mishnah is saying.
Right.
And Reb Yehuda says, no, it could be considered separate even with only one expression.
That's right.
Our Mishnah says, when are they considered two separate expressions? Only if you say hiskachi and hiskachi. If you say anything else, they're considered combined. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that. He says, even I only say one hiskachi, but I say with this and with this, it is considered two separate expressions anyway. That's not our Mishnah. That's not our Mishnah. He's saying worse. He's saying they're separate even more. They're even more separated. He'll agree. Our Mishnah is saying not only, it's not saying this is a separate one and there's other separations. No, this is the only separation. Hiskachi. Anything less, it's considered combined. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that statement. He says, I can have one hiskachi if I say with this, and it is combined. So that's not, our Mishnah doesn't hold like that. So we got a problem. So comes along Reish Lakish and says, I can get out of this one, guys. No. Okay, I admit the second half of it has to be Reb Shimon. I agree that when you talk about separate expressions, it's Reb Shimon, it's not Reb Yehuda. What am I going to do with the first time I said it was like Reb Yehuda? Guess what? I could reverse it. Elokul Reb Shimon, everything could be Reb Shimon. The whole mission is Reb Shimon. The second half is for sure like Reb Shimon. But who says Reb Shimon won't agree to Reb Yehuda about a father accepting a woman's kiddushin? Maybe he agrees to him and he's the only one who can accept it. That's all. You think Rabbi Yehuda is the only person? Maybe not. Maybe there's another person. Elokul Reb Shimon, the whole Mishnah Reb Shimon. Ubishlichus, when we're talking about making a shaliach, meaning can the father get it only or the daughter also? Savalek Rabbi Yehuda. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Right? Maybe there's more than Rabbi Yehuda. Who says Rabbi Yehuda is the only person who says this? Maybe Reb Shimon also says this. Reish Lakish would assert that, A, the entire Mishnah is authored by Reb Shimon. Hence, in the second clause, only the reiteration become betrothed to me breaks the betrothed's words into separate pronouncements. That's Reb Shimon. And what about the first half? Reb Shimon concurs with Yehuda's view that only the Nara's father can accept the Kiddushin. Okay. Reish Lakish is thus able to assert that the sages allow both the father and the Nara to accept the Kiddushin, while the Mishnah does not reflect their view. Okay? Now, you know, there's still, it's a little bit of, I don't know the rest of this, but it's still a little problem. It would seem Chachamim may have included Reb Shimon. So he said, Tochek, say no, the Chachamim don't include Reb Shimon. It's Reb Yehuda, and Reb Shimon agrees with his position. All right, and that's the way Reish Lakish will have to learn the Mishnah. That's it. We're finished with the question and answer period. We're going to come to the Pesach Halacha in a second now. So that's, so according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's very simple. Rabbi Yochanan says, listen, everybody holds that only the father, and the Mishnah says only the father. Reish Lakish, what are you talking about? Mishnah is only the father. According to Chumim, it's both. He says, well, it's going to be like Reb Shimon, who agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that only the father and not both. Only the father, not both. And it does not subscribe to the Rabbi's position, which is a dochek answer. Okay, now the next 2 minutes, we'll wrap up the sugya. We're going to wrap it up now. Now what's left is, who's right? Who's the winner? Rabasi lo Allah bei Spanish. One day Rabasi did not go to yeshiva that day. He did whatever, sick, whatever. He missed the discussion of the day. Ashkechel Rabbi Zera. He found Rab Zera, Amar Aleh, and he said to Rab Zera, because he wasn't, he says, Ma Amor Ha'id Nevesh, what did they learn in the Beis Medrash? It wasn't in the yeshiva. What happened? They do? Amar Aleh, he answered him, for another while, I also didn't go to the Beis Medrash. I don't know why the Gemara is giving us these little details. But I'll tell you who did go. Rab Avin did go. And when he went, I asked him what was going on. So I'll give you second-hand information. I'll tell you what Rav Avin told me. I already asked him what was going on in the Beis. And he told me, but Omar, he says like this, Chavrusa Kula Rabbi Yochanan. The entire assemblage of scholars agreed with Rabbi Yochanan that there's no machlokas by the father, and he only accepts the kiddushin. The rabbis agreed to that. In other words, look at the notes. The various groups of scholars study hall voted on the dispute between Rav Shlomo and they endorsed Rabbi Yochanan's position. Done. Not done. Vitzavak Rav Lech and Reish Lakish was screaming the whole time. He was screaming like a crane. He said, what do you mean? Why don't you accept my idea? Remember, what was the svara to say? According to Reish Lakish, why does he want to maintain this another machlokas, the same machlokas as by Geddes, by Kiddushin? Because he learned the Hekesh. The Yatz of Ahaysa, we have the Hekesh, the Yatz of Ahaysa. In the same pasuk, it says he goes out and goes in. So we have that Hekesh, right? Since we have a Hekesh, we know by divorce, so say the same thing by marriage. It's a machlokas by marriage as well. So he was screaming like that. But guess what? Valek Asher, but nobody paid a heed to his protests. Right, so they went. We went with Rabbi Yochanan and not with rather we went like Rabbi Yochanan and not like Reish Lakish. That's the psak halacha finished. Amar Leh. So now Rav Asi then said to Rav Zera, "Let's just be clear. Who did you ask? You asked Rav Oven. I want to make sure which Rav Oven it was. Was it Rav Oven Bar Samcho? He says, is Rav Oven a reliable source? Can we trust him?" You know, does he pay good attention? Not that he's alive, but did he pay good attention? Amar Leh, he says, listen, in Kaminyama Latigaya, who? Yes, it's direct as from catching a fish from the sea into the frying pan. In other words, like, he's the kind of guy, you know, if you catch a fish and put it right into the front, if you catch a fish, wait till you get home, you could lose it. In other words, he's not going to forget. His memory is so good, right? And look what he says. He told me right as he left the East, right after he came out of the Beis Medrash. It wasn't like I asked him an hour later. This was like right out of the sea into the frying pan. Right when he walked out, I asked him. So he's not going to forget. See, he's reliable. Finally, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, Ana lo Rabbi Yavin Barab Chia. I did not hear that the person who spoke with Rav Zera was Rav Avin Bar Chia. Velo Rav Avin Bar Kahana. There's a lot of Rav Avins here. It wasn't Rav Avin Bar Kahana. El Rav Avin Stam. It was just regular Rav Avin. In other words, there must have been a number of Rav Avins around. It wasn't this Rav Avin. It wasn't this Schwartz. It was that Schwartz, you know. The Gemara says, who cares? The Gemara says, Lamai Nafkamina. What does it matter which Rav Avin it was? We know that was given over. He says, you're right, but just, you never know, maybe one day, Limir Medidea today, maybe one day, we can make a contradiction between him and another statement he'd make. In other words, we need to know which Rav Avin is here, in case We have a Rav Avin who makes another statement somewhere else that would conflict with this statement, so you have to be accurate which Rav Avin it was. So therefore it's just the regular Rav Avin. And we're up to the two dots, and now we can give you the quick conclusion. So now this is the resolutions. Remember, there is still a machlokas, the rabbis and Rabbi Yehuda, by divorce of a Nar Arusa. That's a Mishnah. So the rabbis say that both the father and Nar Arusa are empowered to receive her get. Rabbi Yehuda says only the father is empowered to receive her get. And you should know, when we rule like the rabbis, grada. So by a get, both of them can receive the get. However, everyone agrees that only the father is empowered to receive the kedushin for the Nara, because we hold like Reb Yochanan's way of learning the Machlokas and not like Reish Lakish. And the difference between why there's the difference is because by get it's against the will, and by kedushin it's not against the will. And last point, everyone agrees that both the father and Nara Rus are empowered to receive her mamar. Why are they both able to receive the mamar? Because the reason we said is because the connection is already there, because she hasn't gone out of a rishus at all anyway. And that's how that works over there. And that's the conclusion of the sugya. And tomorrow we start a